You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, I'm really excited to introduce my next guest. She's the CEO of a charity called Upside Youth Mentoring. Some of you may know it from times past called Brothers in Arms. But Jenny Horst joins me now. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's so lovely to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
It's an absolute pleasure. I should declare for listeners, I know Jenny, in fact, joined her, or Rachel and I joined her and the crew from Upside a few months ago for a fundraiser. They do amazing work, hence wanting to have you on the show, Jenny. So without me talking too much, which is still a hangover from my political days, tell us about Upside. What do you guys do?
Oh, look, I love talking about this stuff. You know, if you're looking for an upside in a world where there's so many things that are pressing down on us, you know, at a local level or nationally or internationally, you know, life is a bit complex out there, isn't it? It's always good to zero in on what's going well. And we love telling the story of life on the upside. So at Upside Youth Mentoring, what we do is we help facilitate life-changing relationships for young people that have had a tough start in life. And that might be because they've experienced some of the heavy stuff like neglect or abuse. They might be being bullied. They might have experienced extreme grief, perhaps lost a parent and really struggled to move forward with that. There are all kinds of reasons why a young person, and we're talking about kids that are 9 to 13 years of age, so right at that pivotal time of life where they're individuating and changing so much physically and mentally, socially. Right at that time, what we're able to do is enable some early intervention, if you like, through amazing positive role models that come into their life. And it really helps change that trajectory for them from what might be a predisposition to some fairly poor life outcomes as a result of these challenging things they've had in their life to something that is a whole lot more positive. And we're just seeing story after story, and the research that we've had done on the organization is backing this up, that the outcomes are just absolutely magnificent, that are coming out of just ordinary people journeying with a young person and bringing that big heart, some good laughs, a bit of caring every week for across a year, actually. The journey is about a year long, and many go a lot longer than that.
So how do you find these young people? I'm assuming, so that listeners understand, this is primarily in Auckland at the moment, or have you spread further? And secondly, how do you find these young ones, or how do they come to you?
Yeah, well, firstly, we are primarily based in Auckland. So Southeast Auckland and Central West Auckland are our two primary hubs. Having said that, there are other organisations outside of that that are running our program themselves. So we go as far as Tauranga. There's one up North Rodney. We've got about five charities in different places. So if anybody's listening and thinking, oh, I want to hear more about that, we can potentially plug you in wherever you are to something that we're doing in the program. Or if we don't have a presence in the community that you're in, we're able to connect you with another like-minded mentoring organization. So bear that in mind as you listen to this interview, there might be an opportunity for you to engage. But to your second question about how we find the young people, what we've done over the years is had referrals from a number of sources, but the most powerful source for referrals that we've found is the local school, because they're walking alongside this young person on a daily basis. They're seeing them day in, day out, and what challenges they might be presenting with at school. They invariably know the family as well, and they have contact with local agencies that are wrapping around the families that have more complex needs. So they're in a prime position to be able to brief us really well on where that child's at and what they need. And from there, we sit down with that young person and with their family and just see if they're ready for this kind of journey and if it would benefit with them. And obviously, we're doing the same with our volunteer mentors as well, just engaging with them and looking for that perfect fit and matching them, bringing them together.
So perhaps, I don't know if there's a story or two without breaking a young person's privacy, but what does that look like? I mean, what's, if you will, the stereotypical situation a young person might be in between those ages of 9 and 13 that needs extra support? And then what does it sort of look like with the mentor? What are these volunteers doing to assist the young person to be, well, the person they want to be and taken to the upside. I'm trying to find a funny way to bring upside in, and you're better at it than I am.
It's a useful word, isn't it? It's a nice one. It always lights me up when I say it. I just think it so much embodies what we're doing. Look, I'll share a real quick story. There was a woman that I spoke to not so long ago whose child was 13 when we first matched him. And at the time she said, this was 8 years ago. At the time she said, I thought his future was one of two things, suicide or prison. And she turned around and said, thank you so much. You really changed that. So he's now doing super well. He's 20 years old. He's a scaffolder. He's getting out there every day doing a wonderful job at his work. He's loving his life, and he now wants to be a mentor himself. So that's sort of the gorgeous journey for some people. But I'm thinking of a young boy, and we'll call him Tony, who was who moved to New Zealand at very short notice from Tonga with his family, and had a lot of trouble settling into the local school. He started getting bullied by the other kids and developed a nervous tic because of this, and that brought more bullying. So very quickly he worked out he needed to have a coping strategy, and unfortunately his coping strategy was violence. So he was modelling something that he'd seen at home, and he started becoming the school aggressor, if you like, and was very problematic in both the classroom and the schoolyard. So the school reached out to us and said, look, this young man needs someone to walk alongside him, a mentor, one of your mentors. So we matched him up with a guy that was quite athletic and really had a passion for life. And this young boy changed very, very quickly from being an aggressor to really settling down, learning new coping skills, and then becoming a school leader. So a massive 180 for this kid. He's now a child that the school says other children are looking up to. He is someone that gives advice during assemblies, and he's settled down at home as well. So he's not being aggressive to his sister, and his family are saying, wow, this is incredible. We're thinking, are there any other elements in his life that had changed? But both the school and his family are saying the only thing that's changed is that this volunteer mentor that you matched him with has been turning up every week, spending time with him, kicking a ball around, having some fun, doing, the mentors do all sorts of things with their young people. In this case, it was reasonably sporty activities. And they walked together for a year, and my goodness, this kid changed from, obviously being in a place where he was deeply unsettled and probably likely to continue on that trajectory, to a young kid that now believes in himself. He's giving back to the people around him, and is very likely to move to, the research is showing regarding our program, he's more likely to get a higher qualification. The research is showing our kids are getting having improved mental and physical health. They're less likely to offend, less likely to have addictions and experience violence in their future. So it's a super good news story, and Tony kind of encapsulates that quite well.
I know there were a few other stories that were shared at that fundraiser, and I have to say it's incredibly inspirational. I suppose it's some of the key work that you and your team lead is linking that young person with the right mentor. And I suppose too, there's no one size fits all, but it's ultimately about relationship, I suppose, that this young person knows that there's someone that will turn up, as you say, each week, but also they can contact, discuss, talk, kick a ball around. And it's just fantastic to hear, Tony's story, what a difference it makes. And I suppose the other thing is we're talking thousands of young people now, aren't we, over the years that Upside's been around. This is not just three or four young people that we're discussing.
We work with about 100 a year. We've been around since 2006, albeit in the early days there were much fewer numbers as the team was small and it was starting out. You touched on a word that I think that is useful to unpack a bit, which is relationship. And I've seen over the years in the charitable sector a lot of programs implemented and lots of numbers going through those programs. But the most powerful mechanism for change, I believe, is relationship. It seems to be when people feel somebody cares about them and sees them as a person rather than a problem. It's a catalyst for a lot of deep, meaningful, sustainable change. And that's why this program has been developed based on international best practice, by the way. So we're really ensuring that we're working with a proven program. in the by virtue of matching up a volunteer, they're not paid to be there. This young person sees somebody cares enough to turn up week after week, and the minimum requirement we have is a couple of hours a week, and they stick with them for a year. And some people are, you know, getting into the kitchen and baking a cake together. Others are playing a board game or doing some arts and crafts or going to a museum or walking the dog on the beach together. It's not so much what you're doing. It's just doing life together and holding space, the mentor holds space for that young person. And at the right times, you know, ask some good open-ended questions that might provoke some deeper thought for the young person about other ways to cope with the situation. And slowly but surely, the young person opens up. But it's that belief in them that's incredibly powerful in delivering these amazing results. So it's quite rewarding. Not only is that young person experiencing the change, but the stress in the household reduces, according to the research on our program, and the mentor's own well-being improves, which is an amazing good news story for us to tell, because I think turning up to such a thing, a mentor feels like, hey, I'm sacrificing a couple of hours a week and I'm doing this because I believe, you know, it's worth giving back to the community around me. But in fact, over that journey, there's such a profound change in them too. So the things that I'm hearing from my mentors is that their life feels a whole lot more purposeful, that they're more in touch with their own humanity. They get to play again as well, you know. We don't often have excuses to go and just unplug and just kick a ball around and have a laugh or play a game. So it's really lovely to have permission to do that. And as that relationship deepens, there's those gorgeous rewards of seeing the change over time, that young person growing in confidence and self-belief and looking at their future quite differently.
Well, you preempted one of my questions, because of course we're thinking about the young person, but it's obviously the mentors are absolutely critical. And you pre-answered some of it, because I was going to ask you, what is it that you want in these mentors and volunteers? Because I know you'll always want more, and that's an encouragement to listeners to consider. But you've clearly said that they build in their relationship happiness, joy, by being involved. It's not overly time-consuming, you know, a couple of hours a week. But, well, put it this way, what's your pitch to people to become a volunteer on top of what we've already discussed?
Look, I think it comes down to, in a nutshell, every young person is a success story if they have a caring adult around them, or can be a successful story if they're living out of some level of vulnerability. And so in stepping up to be that for somebody, you are releasing incredible potential in a young person who has some genuine needs. But not only that, you are, by virtue of your own contribution, your world is expanding. And there's some interesting recent research on the benefits of stepping out of your comfort zone and engaging in ways with people around you that you might not have thought about doing before. In fact, more happiness is found on those edges outside of your comfort zone. So I had a lady turn toward me as she was leaving one of our events. We run a few fun events through the year for the matches. And she said, thank you so much for enabling me to be part of this. This is the best thing I have ever done in my life. And she was a woman in her 50s, so I'm sure has had a lot of life behind her and probably done
I need to say that because my wife, in case she's totally listening.
So she's done a lot of great things in her life, I'm sure, because she was a big-hearted person. But this was quite a profound experience for her, because it was opening up a whole new world to her and giving her this wonderful sense of purpose. So she was finding it at least as rewarding as that young person that she was walking alongside. And you asked what we're looking for. It's a couple of hours a week, as I said. It's for at least 12 months commitment. And that 2 hours a week could be on a Saturday one week and a Thursday another week. It's flexible. It can work around you and the young person you're working with. We match you together quite carefully. We look to ensure that there's an alignment of interests and personality. We obviously put people through a bit of a vetting process. There's a pretty rigorous process there, a police check and other things to ensure that we have safety and well-being top of mind for our young people. They need to have a driver's license, these volunteers, and a vehicle, so they can pick the young person up and go do fun things together. and be ready to come to some fun events through the year. There's also an overnight camp. And other than that, it's about just being a good, decent, big-hearted person and up for an awesome journey.
So many upsides. Sorry, I've got to stop trying to find
puns. Well, one of these, you're playing my game now. You're getting that word in every way you can. I love it.
I mean, the other side, of course, and sort of final thought is you obviously need funds. People, you know, in this space always need funds. And, you know, please tell us how to get in contact with you. But I know that you've had, if you will, a social investment lens put across you, that for every dollar given, there's a really substantial return. So let listeners know the value for money, the wonderful value for money beyond the care and, beyond the care itself of young people. Why is donating to Upside a good thing?
Oh, look, it is important that people know that their money is being invested in a way that is going to generate change. So we've engaged an outside agency. It was set up by Sybil English, actually, called Impact Lab, and they quantify social impact. So it's a reasonably new science, and it's incredible. So they layer many data sets together, including the organization's data and international data, domestic and government data, and look at the good generated and the harm avoided through that particular program. And what's come out of that is that for every dollar invested in Upside's program, there's $4.70 of social good generated. Isn't that fantastic? It's such an encouragement to people that thinking about giving, because they know, with great confidence that we steward those funds really well, and that it absolutely generates the change that we are professing that it does.
Well, I just think it's marvelous. As I said at the start, you know, Rachel, longer than I have, but now through Mary and her, have known about your work, love what you do. So, Jenny, a big, big thank you to you and your team for all that you do. If people want to become a volunteer or a mentor, or they want to donate, what's the best way to get in touch?
Brilliant. So if they want to become a volunteer mentor, just simply want to know a little bit more about that, call Donald. He's our program manager, and I'll give you a number. Or you can text him, 021-462-830. That's 021-462-830. Or you can simply go to our website, which is upside.org.nz. That's upside.org.nz. And there's also a little donate button there if you want to set up a $10 a month. That would be amazing. Or you might have $1,000 in your back pocket. Amazing. We certainly need the help right now in this tough economic climate. We'd be super grateful. And we'd certainly love to hear if you would like to be a mentor.
Jenny, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, a delight. Thank you so much for having me on, Simon.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.